You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
My name is Carter Harkins, and I'm with crowdabout.us, and which was formerly InnerTube, or actually we still have InnerTube, but InnerTube and Crowdabout, same technology. And I'll talk a little bit about that towards the end, but I kind of want to really talk about kind of feeding right off of what the last session in this room was about, which is interactivity and participation, ways of kind of building community within our podcasts. But before I do that, let me just kind of get to know who's in this room a little bit, if that's okay. So if you guys would answer some questions for me. And it's okay if we don't get this on a mic, you know, because it's just going to take too long to run mics around. These are quick answers, quick questions. I'll have you raise your hand for some of them. First one I want to know is, why did you start your podcast? What was the motivation for you to explore putting together a podcast around the content that you're doing? Anybody, just volunteer.
Fun to read things out loud.
Fun to read things out loud. Cool. Did I see a hand over here?
Too many people don't know about good beer.
Too many people don't know about good beer. Excellent.
Amen. To be a resource for people.
To be a resource for people. Excellent.
I actually haven't started my podcast. I'm starting it now, but I'm a chef and I'm going to create more business.
Excellent. You know, some of my favorite podcasts are the food ones. I love it. That's good. So let's talk. Yeah.
I'm a physician, and I wanted to find a way to communicate with people that was outside of clinical medicine.
Okay, a physician communicating with people outside of clinical medicine. So extending your reach, basically.
And also, I've always wanted to get into something with the internet, and when this came along, I was like, this is the thing.
Yeah. This is cool. The thing. Very good. In the back, one of you had your hands up. I don't remember.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to my husband, and we're funny together, so I wanted to have something with that. And also, I have a friend that I'm really funny with, and I just thought that everybody should know how funny my friend and my husband are.
That's cool. So kind of a fun time to get together, something to do together, being funny with one another. That's awesome. That's really cool.
To bring about nostalgia, my podcast is for baby boomers or people who want to know about people's lives and how they touched each other. How different people have touched each other's lives now. Life's a big puzzle, and how, kind of, if it's the wonderful life, if someone's missing, what could happen to the world? So,
excellent. Kind of so, bringing people together, then, it sounds like. Connecting, kind of, you know.
My show's about dead people, so.
Okay, cool. Someone else? In the back?
We've done comedy in front of live audiences, but doing that, you can only perform in front of people who can, you know, drive to where you are. So this way we can perform for anybody.
Very cool. Very cool. Good stuff. What did you hope to get from your podcast when you launched it? Obviously, everybody kind of enters a new thing with expectations about what's going to happen, what they're going to get from it. And obviously, we do things self-motivated, or, you know, because we have self-motivations. What did you hope to get?
Try to stand out, be unique, offer a unique service, add value to what I bring to the table.
Yeah, being unique. Good. That's good. Someone else, what'd you hope to get?
I haven't started yet, but using a different medium to try to learn and build community together.
Building community, okay, that's good.
I wanted to become a part of the podcasting community because it seems like such a good community.
Joining the podcasting community, that's good.
I basically just wanted to have fun.
Having fun, good.
At the end of it, I wasn't thinking about making money. I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wanted to have something that at the end, once a week, I knew that I was going to be doing this, that I was going to have fun, and at the end, I really didn't expect anything.
Have you had fun? You've had fun?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
I wanted to reach a wider audience.
Expand your reach. That's good.
Get more people reading short science fiction than before.
Good. That's a good one. Getting more people reading.
Just to share experiences and to validate what people do and, make them feel.
Excellent. Worthwhile. Sharing experiences. Real quick, just show of hands, how many of you have been podcasting more than 3 months? Keep your hands up if you've been podcasting more than 6 months. Hands up more than a year. Anybody longer than like a year and a half? Wow, a couple people? Awesome. It's, you know, podcasting is in diapers, but I'm always curious to know just how many people. I want to know, though, in your podcasting, how many of you guys have actually met people from your podcast? I mean, either people who have listened, people who have found out about it. You've actually expanded your network of either, you know, acquaintances or friends. You guys have made connections, valuable connections. That's good. Do you feel, this is, I'm not going to measure, I'm not even going to ask the question, how many people do you have listening? Because in my opinion, that's not an effective measure of the success of a podcast. I don't care if you have four people listening. If you're engaging with those four people and they're getting something out of that, and you're getting something out of that interaction, to me, your podcast is successful. So it's not about download statistics. It's not about any of those things. How many people think that the connections that you've made with your podcast listeners, that if you were to invite them to dinner one night, that they'd come and that you'd feel comfortable having them in your home? How many of you guys have built those kinds of relationships? Somewhere else.
Let's,
yeah, a restaurant. Okay. You guys feel like you've built some of those kinds of relationships because of podcasting? I think that's the power of podcasting, is the ability to actually change lives. And I don't mean in the sense of, you know, some grand spiritual change, although I think that's possible as well. I just mean in terms of building relationships, building friendships, connecting with people in new ways that you wouldn't have had you not been podcasting. And I think it's a real power. Just real quick, I'm going to set this up and then we're going to just have session question and answers and stuff. I just want to kind of quickly set this up. You guys, you know the difference between mass media, social media. I'm sure there's been a lot of talk during this, you know, the sessions and things that I haven't been a part of. So I'll just quickly go over this. This is kind of my idea of what mass media looks like. It's one person who has got a message, broadcasting it to a large group of people, and those people just simply passively consume that information. That's mass, one to many, okay? Social podcasting, and this is kind of based on social media, and I don't like the term, but it's useful at least when you're trying to hurry through a session and just pack as much information in one single term as possible. I'm going to take a kind of a spin on social media, and we're going to call, for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to call what we're talking about social podcasting. Here's the definition of that. A way of podcasting that has as one of its chief aims the facilitation of four things: participation, conversation, relationships, and community. And to me, those things are sort of layers inward, or, you know, they sort of deepening layers of community. Participation on the outside, you know, just kind of listening, maybe having, you know, sending an email, communicating that way with the podcaster. Then conversation begins. Now the podcaster is communicating back to listeners one-on-one via email, maybe, you know, voicemail, those kinds of things. Suddenly there's, you know, the beginnings of a relationship developing there. And then eventually, as enough people become involved in and around that podcast, it begins to grow community. Once we have community, and I know that's another buzzword that gets used a lot, these sessions and these kinds of groups. But once we have community, then we really have the ability to interact with one another on a world-changing level. I mean, we can, you know, change our own worlds. In other words, I don't mean globally, but, you know, our definition of how we define ourselves, our definition of what the world is for us, changes as a result of being in community. It's within the context of community and relationships that we experience life. So, okay, this is my definition. This is what social podcasting would look like. In this sense, it's still one person who might be the seed of the podcast, the person who actually puts the content together, and he's broadcasting it out. And in this sense, it really still looks like a one-to-many relationship. It's still kind of unidirectional at this point. One person creates the content, puts it out there, everyone else consumes it. Suddenly, though, someone else speaks up. Now they're talking. And then a couple other people start adding to that conversation. And it continues to grow as more and more people are echoing the sentiments of the podcaster, or challenging, you know, challenge and response kinds of things are going on. Suddenly we're entering into dialogue. We're entering into, you know, relationship. Now these people understand who one another are, but they're not just communicating back to the big guy in the center there. They're communicating with one another. And with podcasting, with the, you know, the tools that are available on the internet for communication, these kinds of communications are possible. Notice now, this community of people, the podcaster is only one part of it. And I wish I'd made a slide where that center guy was the same size as everyone else, because That's the beauty of building community. It's a many-to-many relationship. We're not talking about one person broadcasting out to everybody else. We're talking about many people contributing in a conversation that builds and creates community. So that's the big question, and I'm going to spend the rest of our time talking about how do we do that? How do we use a tool like podcasting to build community? How do we do community with podcasting? So anyone, start. We can just run some mics around and get that information.
Remember, please introduce yourself because this is being broadcast to the World Wide Web through podcasting.
Hey, this is Ken with E3C Link, and I always start off when I coach my clients is asking them a big question. What is your vision? My vision for my company is to connect 1 million passionate entrepreneurs around the world. So it starts with that vision.
Someone else, how do we use podcasting? I mean, it's a big question. Sit on it for a little bit. How do we build community using podcasting?
I'm Justin Davis from Davis on Draft. We were just talking upstairs in the session that was about building communities through podcasting. Okay. So it's a logical extension of it. And we were talking about a lot about how you can build a local community in addition to kind of a virtual community, if you will, online versus offline. And I think that one of the real great things about podcasting is that you're able to offer that local community as well as the worldwide international community, you're able to offer things that they can't get other places. You know, you're able to kind of niche market or kind of have niche offers. You know, for example, we talk about craft beer and do beer events and stuff like that in Nashville. But there's nobody else doing that kind of stuff. And so for the people who are interested in that in Nashville, up until now, there's been really no place that could organize that for them and get those people together. And so it helps to kind of synergize the community, you know, to use one of those $3 words.
But yeah, it becomes the touch point.
Yeah. And it kind of gives the community and like-minded people something to finally latch onto and form around, I guess.
That's good. We'll get to you next.
One way to form community, I think, and that's why I'm interested in what you're doing, this is Kathy Shields, teacher, is to try and get people to do something after they listen or watch your podcast. And so that's why I'm interested in what you're doing. You get people to respond. And so it becomes a conversation instead of just a show and a passive activity. And so I think that's the best way to build activity. So I think you're really on the right track.
That's good. You know, podcasting and this is my definition of it, podcasting is a vehicle. I don't even call podcasting a media or medium. It's a vehicle on the road to somewhere, and that vehicle could be placed on a mass media road headed to, you know, a one-to-many relationship where I'm simply using podcasting to broadcast what I want to say, or it could be a vehicle that's on a social media road where I'm really, the purpose of my podcast is to interact with people, to build a community, to get to know the people who are listening to me. I was really disappointed when I started podcasting because I'd been blogging for a while. And in blogging, I was excited. I knew who my audience was. I mean, at some point, I was going to say something on my blog that somebody was going to relate to. They were going to leave a comment, and I would find out who these people were. But I wasn't getting that same interaction with podcasting. I was using a blog to do it. But what I started realizing was, when people are listening to a podcast, they have to think about what's being said. If they want to make a comment about what's being said in the podcast, then they have to hold that thought until they get to a computer. They have to find the website. They have to find the post where I released that episode, find the comment section. Then they have to go and they have to queue up their listen to the podcast again until they come to that spot where I said what it is that they want to comment on. Then they have to, it's crazy. They have to paraphrase. They have to, 4 minutes and 35 seconds, you said such and such. And, then they have to transcribe or paraphrase what was said, and then they can leave their comment. Well, how many people really do that, right? I mean, have you guys been disappointed as podcasters sometimes about the amount of participation that you get in your podcast? To me, it wasn't the same. Blogging, instant feedback. I mean, within hours of posting what I would post, I would start getting, 10, 12 comments. Within days of releasing a new podcast episode, I'd be lucky to get two. And it was frustrating. So I wanted a way to be able to, you know, I was looking for ways and really just, you know, what can I do to make this a more socially interactive medium? How can I put podcasting on the road to a social interaction? So.
Okay, my name is Barbara Lee Ahrens. I'm a writer. And one of the things, well, actually two things I think of when you're trying to use podcasting to build a community is that you need information that people can use. It has to be very specific. And also, you need to provide a platform for them to interact. It can be a forum, or it can even be in real, you know, in person, where maybe you get together and do something. But I think with the internet, the way that it has been, that World Wide Web, now is becoming more specific. People are looking to get more connected on a very niche level.
That's good. Does anyone here ask questions of their audience and you know, to try to stimulate some of that response and give them, you know, suggest different ways that they can respond by via email, maybe voicemail, a comment line, those kinds of things, ways of capturing, maybe a blog comment, those kinds of things?
Because that's, oh, this, sorry, before he hits me on the head. I'm Penny Haynes, First Podcast Publishing. I love Carter's, his site and what he does there, because it does give people who are creative the ability to creatively respond to you. We're in a multimedia environment. We love multimedia. And normally the people listening to us like multimedia, that's why they're doing it. So to give them an opportunity to respond to us, not just in text, really does give them an opportunity to open up their creativity. And I love the idea of somebody actually, let's say I ask them a question on my Brainstorm Business podcast, which is all about saying, this is what I learned, what could we do to apply this to our business? And I'd love to hear somebody respond to me and say, oh, this is what I would do to apply it to my business. Well, wouldn't it be cool if they audio taped it, or even better, did a video on how to apply whatever it was? So then you've got this spawn off, almost like spin-offs on television shows. You may even encourage someone or inspire someone else to start their own podcast just by throwing out your own questions. So I think that's a great way to do that. I'm always asking, but I'd love to see them get creative with their responses.
I wanted to go one step deeper than just simply finding out who my audience was. I wanted my audience, my listeners, to find out who each other were.
Ooh, yeah.
I wanted to build those bridges because I thought, you know, I'm podcasting about something that's important to me, and I figure, you know, I'm a new father, I have a four-month-old son, and I'm podcasting all about, you know, my wife and I are podcasting all about the experience, you know, we're doing a baby cast, basically. There's lots of them. But we had a unique perspective and decided we'd, you know, do that. A lot of people listen to our podcast, and I wanted to get those people connected because a lot of them were having children as well. Some of them were having children in the same communities. And I wanted to see if I could make those connections for those people so that they could have support groups with one another. And I saw that as my responsibility as a podcaster, not simply to put out content for people to consume, but to find out who was consuming it and see if I couldn't network those people.
What Penny said about inspiring other people to start their own podcast, that rang a bell in my head. That's actually happened to me before. I do intros in my shows where I don't talk about the stories, but about a lot of other things. And at one point, I was complaining about the fact that I'd been looking for some really brief news podcasts, because I can't stand to read the paper anymore these days. And I just wanted something in the middle of my podcast listening that would be like 2 minutes long and tell me what the big news of the day was. And I was bemoaning the fact that I couldn't find anything that was exactly adequate to my purpose out of the big news agencies to do that. I said, you know, maybe someone needs to start this. And several people emailed me and said, yeah, that gave me an idea. I started thinking about that. I think a few people, actually, because I gave that, you know, expressed my need there, a few people actually did. At least one of them, Charles Caton, has Mostly News, has been going for about a year and a half now, at least.
Yeah.
I've had a few other people talk about, you know, starting their own podcasts. Jason Rennie from the sci-fi show, the science fiction philosophy show. Dr. Ginger, did he read your comments on that show at one point? Did you participate?
He let me do a book review, and that's what got me inspired to start my book.
Yeah, and that got me thinking, because as I was sitting here, I suddenly realized where I had heard your name before, in a podcast. I knew I heard your name in a podcast. And so there's an example of social you know, podcasting right there. I knew about her because of being mentioned in another podcast from an Australian guy who in turn was in touch with me about, you know, getting started with this podcast.
Actually, Mostly News just started using our service the other day. I just awesome. Got turned on to them. I really like it. He's out of Dallas, right?
From his accent, I would assume, but I never actually asked.
I think he is.
Carter, my name is John Ogle, Atlantic City of Peace. I wanted to follow up Steve's comment and him mentioning Penny with inspiring other podcasters to come on board. For those of you who do not know, and those out there in the World Wide Web listening to this podcast, Penny is the mother of invention for this whole weekend retreat of podcasting. She's got an amazing company, so check her out.
Yeah, good stuff.
I did not pay for that.
There's some comments back here.
Susan Simek, I haven't started podcasting yet, but working with the Georgia Progressive Summit as a volunteer progressive community building effort. And I came here because I see podcasting more in your vehicle term, just one more way to reach out, a tool to help deal with the shortage of time, of attention, of things like that that are going on, where interested people could form a community, but for being separated, if they're stay-at-home mothers or if they're just really busy, live far away in a community like Atlanta that's very separate, and the state of Georgia is very far distances to get to meetings and things like that, that podcasting is a way to fill some of those gaps. And I'm very interested in using it as a tool but not an end result, so that trying to take podcasts, get them put on community radio, get them put on community cable access TV, you know, if it's video casting, things like that, to use the expertise that exists without having to be in the room together. Yeah. And then later do those hard meetings where those in-person meetings where you have that follow-up, so you're building the community through many different means.
I'm amazed at how many discussions about marketing podcasts devolve to, okay, here's the sites you need to, the directories you need to list your things with, and here's the tactics in order to, you know, squeeze every last little thing out of Google search results that you can and stuff. To me, probably the most powerful marketing vehicle that I, you know, tool that I've ever been a part of is building a community. Because if I have people that are excited around, you know, about content, they're going to be my marketers. And it's been that way every single time I've tried something. We've created Crowdabout, which is a service for podcasters, and thankfully podcasters get passionate about things that they like about. Every one of the podcasters on our site are our best marketing tool. We put $0 into marketing because we know that podcasters who enjoy our service are going to tell their listeners, don't be listeners anymore, be participants. Come in, let's talk. I want to find out who you are. I want to put faces with the names. I don't want you to be nameless, faceless download statistics anymore. I want to know who you are. Let's connect. So they're our best marketing. And I think that the same can be said for you as well. If you're building community, that can be the number one marketing effort that you do. And I'm not saying don't put your podcast in directories. But I'm saying, you know, consider that your best marketing is going to be building fanatic people about, you know, who rally around your podcast and thoroughly enjoy it. And I know Steve knows what that's about. He's got very loyal listeners.
This is Shelby Highsmith, ShelbyNader.com. I want to go back to the point of the challenge that you made. You know, the challenge of being a podcaster trying to get feedback is that, you know, the beauty of podcasting is that you don't have to be at the computer to listen to it, and the challenge of it is the whole AFK problem. You know, they're not at the keyboard.
Right.
And one thing that I'm trying to look towards now going forward is tapping into mobile technology. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really an easy way that I've kind of yet to, you know, listen to podcasts or watch videos from the phone, not that I want to, but in terms of getting your users to, you know, comment back, I think having something like a Skype in line or, you know, some other message service that people, you know, think they're listening on their headphones, and you say, let them, you know, right now, hit pause, call the number, leave a message, or also, I've been playing around with, you know, a Flash player that, a service called CellBlock that accepts multimedia messages from cell phones, so you can create an email address, and you can even create a custom one for each episode, say, you know, so for, you know, show01@cellblock.com, say, people could, you know, take a little video of themselves and send it in and have it show up there on the show notes in a little player instantly or moderated. And so these are the kinds of things I'm trying to figure out, like how to get people, as soon as they hear the cue, to either text something or, you know, you can maybe have a text service to, you know, accept messages so people can comment without being at the computer.
Yeah.
In either text or video or even audio.
There's a big revolution that's about to happen in mobile consumption of podcasts. iPod, the next generation, they're saying it's going to have Wi-Fi. More and more people are consuming podcasts on, you know, communication-enabled devices, cell phones. You know, there's a lot more connectivity happening in the same environments and on the same devices that podcasts are being consumed. As that continues, you know, we're already examining and looking at a couple of platforms to develop our technology in, you know, to implement it directly into mobile devices. And I'll show you what we're doing here in a second. You'll see what I mean.
Has anybody at Penny Games First Podcast Publishing, has anybody here spoken yet about a company called BYO Audio? If any of you are interested in a very inexpensive way, it's byoaudio.com. And I have it listed on the firstpod.com site, so if you go there under resources, you'll find it. But what it does is it allows you to have, number one, unlimited testimonial lines, so people can call in. You can create call-in lines, and then people call into that line. They're not 800, but still they can call in with a specific extension. And then when a new call comes in, it emails you with a link so you can listen to the streaming. Then you can either post it directly onto what they have as a podcast feed, or you can download it, edit it, mix it into your podcast. So that's another thing. It's like $19.95 a month, unlimited things, and you can also use it to record, let's say, teleconferences. It's not like Mark Giuliano's talk show, but if you or your clients do online teleseminars, it also allows you to record those as well. So it's just a great all-around inexpensive tool.
Let me show you guys what we're doing. And then we'll take a few more questions, but I just want to make sure I have time to do this. Crowdabout is a site for podcasters and listeners to find each other and get to know one another. It's a social site at its core. So podcasters can come, take their existing RSS feed. It's not a new way of podcasting. It's not new tools to record your podcast or anything else. Record your podcast like you've always been recording it using the tools you enjoy, and take your RSS feed. You can put it in Crowdabout. And we automatically grab your episodes and add it here. So anyone who is listening, now you can tell your crowd that your podcast is interactive. And here's how it's interactive. I'll just show you. Here's the homepage. These are different. This little box right here is, these are different podcasts where there's a lot of conversation going on. And you can see at the bottom of the area, 7 posts, 4 comments in this one. Here's one with 6 comments. This guy's got 13 comments and 6 posts, and then our Crowdabout podcast has 19 comments and 14, or 14 comments, 19 posts. So this guy here, though, he's a fat girl in Ohio. He's actually out of the UK. He's a videographer, and he's great. So let me just show you our player. If I were to click here, and I've already loaded it up since so we don't have to wait on a slow connection to get video here. But if I were to click that play button right there, this is what you'd see. And this is our conversational player or social player on the site. What this allows you to do is invite your audience and your listeners or your viewers to come in, and then they can interact with the podcast all along specific points on the timeline of the podcast. So I'm going to play the video, and as it's playing, we'll see the little glowing post right here at the bottom. That tells me that somebody has said something there. In this case, it's posted by Fat Girl in Ohio, and this is just information that he included. This is actually grabbed. The first post is grabbed from the RSS feed, from the description tag of the RSS feed, put into this post. If I wanted to reply, I could do so just by clicking the reply button. Let me log in real quick so that as I go. Sorry, I'm using a RoboForm toolbar here to log in. Okay, so now I'm logged in. Okay, so if I wanted to reply, I can do so by text, video, or audio. So I have 3 different ways that I can do it. It accesses my headset, microphone headset, my webcam, built-in EyeSight works, all that stuff, Mac, PC, doesn't matter, it's all done in Flash. It didn't load, doggone. Well, it's pausing. Anyway, And I can see that people have had conversations. As I click on these, it's not changing where the video is playing back, okay? It's just letting me kind of look ahead and read the conversation that's happening at certain points along the timeline. If I wanted to go to that point, I could click the play button here and it would take me straight to that point. So here, let me click backwards since I'm not fully loaded. I gotta click one that's already loaded up. If I wanted to play it from the glowing post there with the orange glow around it, I just click and it jumps right back to that spot. Did you see how it jumped back and started playing from that spot? I'll do it again. I can play it from the first post. I can grab links to put into an email, or I can, if I'm using Outlook or an email program, I can just click that and it'll open an email window. I can just email this link to someone for this post so that they can jump in right at the same spot, click a link in the email, and it'll jump them right to that spot when it loads in the conversational player. But check out how many conversations are occurring around, just in this one particular media. Somebody named Scott from Tokyo is adding a comment here. And then he added a video comment. So I'll just play that video comment and show you. When I press play, it's going to pause the video and start loading up his comment over here on the left-hand side. And we just got a slow connection. This really does happen faster. I don't know if you can hear this.
I really did enjoy watching this video. In fact, I think I've seen it 3 times. And I've been thinking about how to comment. As I mentioned in the text, the music, perfect. The fact that it's shot on a mobile phone is just really incredible, unbelievable. But most of all, I gotta say, that really creeps me out when you pull out that butcher knife and rub the sharp edge up against your chin and cheek there. It's almost too much to watch, like fingernails against the chalkboard. But a very, very good effect, and I'm sure that's what you intended. So thanks for sharing this very special video, and I look forward to seeing your next offering. Take care.
So that was Scott's, he wanted to leave a video, so he did it. And he's actually in Tokyo. So then, Fat Girl in Ohio responds, see how this is a threaded conversation? It is a blog. This is a blog. We've taken audio and video comment, audio and video content, your podcasts, and laid a blog over the top of it, and let those blog posts live along the timeline of the media source itself. So now it's a highly contextual way of commenting on the content itself. I don't know, a lot of people podcast about, they'll have 14 or 15 different things, all of them unrelated in the course of their podcast. Well, if you go to their blog and read all the comments, one person might be commenting on point number 14 in the podcast, and then the next comment is talking about point number 2, and then the next comment's point number 7. It's hopelessly decontextualized. And it's a mess to try to sort through and try to figure out what the heck are they talking about in the podcast. Well, this allows for those conversations to live separately along the timeline. Now, because I'm logged in, and I can move the video around, I can resize it if I want, just doing various things. I'm going to close this window here. I can mark it as a favorite. I can grab an RSS feed for this particular media source that lets me follow the conversation. This feed is different than your podcast feed. We don't touch your podcast feed. We don't alter it. We don't include your enclosures, your media files, in this RSS feed. This is simply our way of providing links to the conversations that are occurring in the player so that people who want to really build community and have that, foster that, the relationships and those contacts with one another, can do so by grabbing a feed and following the conversation. So that, in a nutshell, is the player. We also have an embeddable player that you can put on your website. Right now, it doesn't have the functionality of being able to leave posts and comments right from your own website. So if someone clicks the comment button, it will take them right now to the CrowdAbout website where they can log in and leave a comment. Accounts are free. Let me show you also the people page. These are, you might remember Jeff Haney from yesterday, he spoke here. He just created an account, tried it out. PodCamp New York is using it. I wish more people would add their thumbnail or their avatar images rather than having these default blue circles. But you can see there's people here. So as I'm reading, back here at, if I want to know something about this guy, Fat Girl in Ohio, I can click on his little avatar here, and it'll take me to his homepage, to his show page, or his profile page, and he'll tell me a little bit about himself. Hi, I'm from London. I've been video blogging for a while, posting up fun, mostly inconsequential short stuff whenever I feel inspired to. If I want to see his show, I click on a show image. Now I'm looking at everything that he's contributed, and he's got 7 videos here, it looks like. And I can click on each one of those. As I hover over them, I'm getting information for each one of them, just a little blurb that comes from the RSS feed that he provided, that he entered. And it tells me a little bit about it. It also shows me how many posts and comments there are, so if I'm looking for where conversations are occurring, I can find conversations. We had already played this video, but if I'm in the player and, you know, I'm excited about being a part of someone's podcast and listening to it, but I also want to know who else is listening to this podcast, because I'd like to get to know who else is in the audience of the podcast that I like so much. I can find that out by clicking on the names of different people. Like here, I made a comment on this podcast, so I can click that username and it'll take me to that person's profile. And now I can find out who this person is. Oh, look, they have a show too. I can click on his show, and now I'm seeing everything. As you can tell, I've not used my own service very much as my own under my own name. I actually have 4 or 5 other things on here. So check out Carter's Frozen Dinners if you want an interesting video show. So you can search by shows, you can search by tags and categories if you're looking for places, other services who are using. I'll show you, here's one on learning and instruction. We actually have a lot of people from the educational community who are using it. A lot of English as a second language classes are using it. They'll actually record students and put those out as a podcast, and then the teacher, the instructor, will make marks or annotations along the timeline to correct pronunciations or to, suggest a better idiom or things like that. So it's an interesting tool for that as well. Anyway, that's enough about the tool. You guys, it is free, so you can check it out at crowdabout.us, create a free account. Right now, it's audio video comments are free if you sign up before April 30th. It's free through August 31st. Our beta period right now, we're just offering it completely for free. After that, it's like $8 a year, so it's the cost of a couple of lattes or a movie ticket if you don't live in Manhattan. So anyway, more questions, and then we'll just we'll tap it out. We'll end the session with just talking.
Do we have time for questions still?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm Steve Dilley, EscapePod, again. I want to go back, if anyone remembers what Penny said just before all that, about voicemail solutions and things like that. I just wanted to give people another resource for that. I actually have a free voicemail service for taking audio comments on my podcast. And it's called K7.net. It's at least an easy one to write down and remember. And it's totally free voicemail, and they will email you with the WAV file of the comment that someone calls in. It also works fine as a fax number. That's my fax number as well as the same voicemail line. Downsides, it's a Seattle area code number. You don't really get a lot of choice about that. I guess it's just where they're based. And the audio quality is not fantastic, even for phone quality. So you have to do a little bit of cleanup some of the time. But still, yeah, it can't beat the price. So, in terms of what you were saying about CrowdAbout, I guess, is there a timeline for better integration into people's websites? And one of my challenges right now, I have people leaving comments on my website. I have people leaving comments in my forums.
Right, you need a little
having
more
having a third place for people to leave comments, I'm already working on trying to figure out how to integrate those two.
Sure.
And, this would only be really useful to me if I already had it integrated into the conversations that were already going on.
Sure.
So do you have a plan for API hooks so that if someone leaves a comment on yours, it also shows up on my WordPress blog, things like that?
Yeah, we are talking about right now doing a plugin for WordPress that would take comments that are made and import them. By doing that, they suddenly become decontextualized, which is the whole issue that we're trying to solve. And one of the things that we're realizing is that the more we develop our product, we're actually replacing WordPress. We're replacing those kinds of blogs that, and as we add more customization and things like that, people will be able to use this as an alternative blogging platform.
Well, actually, one. That's Sherelle. In terms of replacing WordPress, I lost track of my question. Never mind.
That's okay. Well, it's a bold statement to make, but if I could tell you a little bit about what we're developing right now, you'd probably
I'm
agree
not sure
with
me. I want my WordPress replaced.
Sure, and I'm a big WordPress fan, believe me.
Do people have to log in to leave comments? If they need an account on their system just to leave a quick comment?
Yes, they do, because...
Well, I know.
That's something that, you know, if we can figure out the spam issue, then, you know, we can do anonymous comments or allow people to just, you know, say who they are without having to log in.
My name is John Ogle, Atlanta City of Peace. I just wanted to say, for those who didn't catch this comment yesterday, to tell you about the vitality and viability of Carter's product, his tool, his creation. He's already got venture capitalists wanting to throw money at him for a piece of the pie, so he's got a good product here.
Well...
One more comment and then we'll break.
All right, Christopher Williams, Georgia Tech again. A question about the embedded player. Do you still have the resizing option to what do you said? I saw how you broke it out at the crowd about, you know, on your particular site, but do you still have the same option when you cut and paste the embedded code? Can I drag?
Right now, we're hopefully in the next by the end of this month we'll have a different an additional embeddable player that will have the entire functionality of the site on your own site.
Right.
Right now, at this very moment, I can't say that we have that. Right now, it is a player. You can change the dimensions of the player. It's simply the play bar with a play button and a comment button below it. You can change the width of that. If it's a video window, then it will display whatever width the video is actually displayed to show it at full resolution. So that's the way that we have it right now to grab code snippets. And you can grab the code snippets in the window itself. When you're looking at a show, the code snippet is this little button right here. And you just click it once and you've got the code. You just drop it in your website wherever you want it to appear. So real easy to do. But yeah, we will have the full version, the full, you know, implementation of the ability for people to leave posts and comments. And that'll allow you to resize the windows and move stuff and drag it around on the screen a little bit. And so, you know, everybody's blog width, you know, their website, the width of the area that we can fill is a little bit different. So that'll be completely resizable. People can change the size that they want to do to suit their website and maximize the space.
If you did not get a ticket from yesterday, from today, we're going to be giving away some really nice gifts. So throw your tickets away from yesterday, and if you want a new ticket for today, come on up and get one.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnitude.com. Thanks for listening to UnconCast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of UnconCast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.